title of the message is Looking for Donkeys. When I was a little child, I always remember some of these fairy tale stories. A fairy tale story that many of us are very familiar, even Hollywood would always bring about a movie, is called Cinderella. In this Cinderella, you discover that she was told to do all that she was supposed to do like a maid. To wash the floor, to clean the floor, to wash the dishes, to look after the stepsisters and the stepmother. She was told to do so. As the time went by, opportunity came, a fairy godmother came and gave her an opportunity to cross path a very handsome prince. And with all of that whole entire story, we all know she finally became the Prince Charming's wife. When I saw that, I began to look at what happened at the beginning. She was told to do her everyday chores. Her everyday chores was not dismissed. She was forced to. But even with that, she diligently worked on. And today's message, Looking for the Donkeys, is very much related to what I see in Cinderella's life. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9, right up from verse 1 right up to verse 24. A long passage, but I'm going to show you from the slides passages that I'm extracting it out to give you a better understanding of what took place. First of all, in verse 1 to verse 3, follow with me according to the slides. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bekorath, the son of Aphia of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. And he was a head taller than anyone else. Verse 3, now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father, Kish, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. Everybody said, look for the donkeys. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Look for the donkeys. Okay, don't point your finger at anybody else, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, the next one. He says, when they reached the district of Zob, Saul said to the servant who was with him, he said, come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. But the servant replied, look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says come true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. The next passage, in verse 15 to 17, now, the day before Saul came, the Lord revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Look at the last passage in verse 20 to 24. As for the donkeys, somebody tell your neighbor, as for the donkeys, come on. As for the donkeys, please don't point the finger at them again. You lost 3 days ago. Do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line? Saul answered, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. Verse 24. So the cook took up the thigh with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion from that time." I said, "I have invited guests." Then Saul dined with Samuel that day. Father, release your words into the hearts of your children in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about, at this present moment, the sovereignty of God. In the sovereignty of God, He crafted out the chapters of our lives. We go through turning points, we go through different turns, curveballs, and also intersection and dissections of life, conditions and situations. But God crafted our chapters. He orchestrated our eternity and our time. Understand this. God's sovereignty will always connect all these dotted lines and bring us to where we are today. You are not here by coincidence. You are here because God has connected those lines. Are you with me? God was there before time began. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Even before time was established, He already brought forth His creation. Understand the sovereignty of God simply tells me nothing happens by chance. Are you with me? Nothing happens by chance. Nothing that happens today is going to surprise God. Nothing that happens in your life, the difficulties and struggles and failures and challenges, you will often think they are taking away your time. But the Lord has orchestrated it, and because He was never surprised with all of those things. Nothing happens outside the box of God. And God will never say, oops, at any time. It was always within the framework of His plan. Even as I said this, it does not mean that the evil has all the opportunity to do anything against us. As a matter of fact, under the sovereignty of God, evil does not change the plan of God. Are you with me? Evil does not change the plan of God. As a matter of fact, again, evil does not deter God at all. And evil does not cause God to alter His plans and His purposes over your lives. I want to say this because the uniqueness of the sovereignty of God is this. He knows the end even before the beginning. Did you see that? He knows the end before the beginning. As a matter of fact, in the book of Jeremiah tells me, before even you were conceived, He knew you. He knew you. We are not talking about circumstances. We are talking right to the dawn of a personal God with you. Within this sovereignty of God, I was told in the book of Psalms 46 verse 10, He says, "Be still and know that I am God." And within the sovereignty of God, as I behold Him, I saw the providential of God. God in His sovereignty provides, and He has His providence. What is the providence of God? The providence of God is that He was working the details in your life. Within the sovereignty, He was working the details. Sometimes you sit around every day, you don't feel anything. Can I share with you, stop feeling like that? Because many a time, though you may not feel anything, but the providence of God is working the details in your life, even as much as you feel nothing about it. You see, friend, it doesn't mean that you don't see it. It doesn't mean that you don't feel it, that the providence of God is not working through. One day it will show. You know why? Because Jeremiah tells me in Jeremiah 19 verse 11, look at the verse itself. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Can I hear an amen to that? Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, God already worked out the details in your life. Many a time we missed out just because we did not see anything. And we turn our back and walk away from the details of God's working hand in your lives. And we decided to dismiss the challenge. We decided to walk away from the struggles. And ultimately, we miss the details of God. You see, God's providential supply derives from His foreknowledge, derives from His sovereignty. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in what? Advance for us to do." He has been working through ahead before you realize anything. Brothers and sisters, we have the providence of God. And one of the things, the classic story was the book of Esther. The book of Esther surprises many of us as we read, because there was no mentioning of God. There was no revelation of the hand of God. But the implication of the book shows us that God was involved in their lives. And this is where we saw a lot of coincidences. How could Queen Vashti all of a sudden loses her queenship? Esther, of course, at the story, we saw her being chosen by the king. Mordecai, one fine night, he heard a conspiracy between Teresh and Bigthana. And then he reported the plot that they had against the king. And then it was recorded in the king's record book, or the king's of annals. Esther receive this favorable reception by the king. All of this seems to be a coincidence. And as much as you think they are, there was the hand of God. And the turning point began. How could you expect all of a sudden one night the king suffered insomnia? He didn't have a chance to sleep. It troubles him in his mind. He just couldn't understand. And of all time, he went to the record book. Why do you need to do that? This man, he had a nightmare and he couldn't sleep. But he went to the book of his annals and he saw Mordecai's heroic act was not awarded. And then could that be a turning point also? All of a sudden, here, in the midst of the insomnia and all the records and the revelation, Haman walks in that morning. And he asked him, "How should we award this man?" And he thought that it was him. And he said, "Well, why don't give him a purple robe and a pompous celebration?" And so the king said, "That's a good idea. Go and do it for Mordecai." And all of a sudden, his whole morale fell. He knew there was something wrong. And I want you to know this. This story is not about coincidences. It's not just about the turning point. It's about the providence of God. He provided a deliverance for His children. Just because God is silent doesn't mean He's not present. Can I say that one more time? Doesn't mean that God is silent, that He is not present. Our outward observation and appearances does not nullify the evidence of God's mighty work in our lives. God every day weaves all through the storylines of our life. He began to weave them and bring people together. He brings them together either through marriage, through connection, through friendship, through association. Because many of these connections is going to bring about a greater result. Can I hear an amen? The providence of God is linking all our details through our natural everyday life. God always reserves something great in our destiny. And so with that providentiality, I want to bring you to the story of Saul's life. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 3 tells us the donkey belonging to the father, Kish, Saul's father. And now he told his son, get one servant and come along with him and go and find for the lost donkeys. You see, this lost donkey apparently is a mundane job. It's a mundane duty, mundane responsibility of the son. As I was reading through the entire passage and noticed Saul's entry into the kingship of Israel, I noticed it came about from the mundane responsibilities. The life is always connected to God's amazing plans. We live in our everyday mundane life, and it's always connected to God's amazing plans. You know, for Saul, this is a mundane thing. Searching for the lost donkeys. The lost donkeys was the fault of someone else. And because of their fault, it became a burdensome responsibility for Saul. He is the child, he is the son of Kish. And so he was told to look for the donkeys. It became a burden. And many of our mundane responsibilities can also be burdensome. It can be very boring. It can also be very inconvenient to your everyday life. God is at work in every interruptions, in every setbacks in our life every day. You have all your interruptions, you have all your setbacks, you have all your delays, your diversions, and also sometimes your distractions. You went through all of that and you view them as a waste of time. You view it as burdensome. You view it as though it's not necessary. But God has divinely ordered all of these and placed them within the construction zone of God in your life. And here it is. Saul has no idea that God was leading him while he was looking for his donkeys. I want to say that one more time. Saul has no idea that God was leading him while he was looking for the lost donkeys. Know these facts today, that many of us will be placed in a situation that you will be going through your boring everyday life. And God uses those donkeys to connect to Saul's destiny. God is going to connect your boring inconveniences, your boring delays, your boring everyday life. You get up in the morning, brush your teeth, you take your bath and you go. Some of you do not take it all. It's okay. Just stay far away. And you will just get yourself ready, take your breakfast, drive your car, go to work, meet your nasty boss. And then you said you have so much work. You work through the day. You work through the afternoon. You work through the evening. And then finally, after all the meetings and all the paperwork, it's time to go home. By the time you reach home, you sit there and you wait for your wife to bring the food right in front of you. And every day your wife will cook the meals, look after the kids, fetch the kids in and out for all their responsibilities and duties in school. You work through every day, Monday till Friday, and Saturday you say, phew, I have an off time. And then Sunday, you come early at 7 a.m., 8 a.m. to prepare all of this thing. And you wish you can sleep more. Every week you go through this boring, tedious, and arduous life. Isn't it true? And quietly you go into the room, not to pray before the master, but complain and say, why the pastor constantly called me to do this? But God uses the donkeys to connect to Saul's destiny. We have a tendency to avoid all of these insignificant responsibilities every day. Saul's destiny, my dear friend, was to be a king, but was not designated based on his resume. If you studied the word just now, in verse 2, the scripture tells us that he is a wealthy child. He comes from the rich home. He comes from a wealthy home. And at the same time, the Bible said that he is a handsome young bloke. He's a head taller than anybody else. And all the girls were, oh. And look at him. Oh, so handsome. That's why Zachary was married to a tall man. She has to look up to him every day of her life. But you see, look at the next slide. Saul wasn't connected because of that. He was connected to the bigger story of his life because he was willing to run a simple errand. Are you there with me? A simple errand. And that connected him to a bigger story that God has planned. When I was a teenager, my mom and dad would always get me to run their errands. It is always a disadvantage to be the youngest and many years younger because the rest of them has gone to the city called Kuala Lumpur. This young little boy was growing up as to stay back in the house alone and became a dispatch boy. When my mom says, oh, I forgot to buy something, could you run over to the shop? And I have to go to the shop and buy. Oh, I forgot to buy the chicken feet, and I have to go to the place to buy the chicken feet. As the youngest child, I was told to run errands, and I did that not because I dislike it, but I did it because my mom and dad calls me to do it, and I love them. Then when I grew older as a teenager, you know, your parents would never give way and said, okay, finish, leave your cups, leave your paper, leave your plates. You know, those days when we wash our plates and our cups, listen to me, I live in a village. My basin is on the floor. We have to squat and wash them. And we were growing up, we were told to wash our own plates and our own cups. Sometimes mom and dad took advantage of that also. He says, kindly wash for me as well. Okay. You can't say no, right? And I did that every time. Then when I get into Bible school, everybody thought is a place where you just go and study Bible. Nah. One of the things they teach you and train you when you stay there is to clean the place. And every single student is given a duty. Once you come back from church, you go back to the dormitory, you are to carry out your responsibility. And so we did. For all the past 3 to 4 years, apart from just washing our own cups and plates after the meals, we have to do our duties. And so we did. Brothers and sisters, if you and I ignore the mundane life that we are given to, the cleanliness of our premises is part of responsibility. Washing your own plates and cups is a responsibility. If we refuse that and ignore it, we will miss the divine plan of God. Understand this. It is the donkeys that has led Saul to his destiny. It is the mundane responsibility of life that God is going to lead you to his bigger story. When people ask me, what is God's will for your life? If God's will for your life is going to be that big, you better start doing something that is small. Otherwise, you can never do the big things of God. Rebekah, as we read in the Old Testament, happens to be Isaac's wife. But the story went on this way. Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to find a wife for his son. And so he went, and as he was journeying, he went to a place, and there was this woman who carried out her daily chores to draw water from the well. She went about doing her mundane thing with obedience, with willingness, and with diligence. And as she was carrying that, Eliezer requested for some water to drink. She was kind, she was unassuming, and she gave him drink from her jug. And not only that, she went on even beyond that. She took some water and fed the camels. Due to the manifestation of her generosity and her kindness, Eliezer took notice of who this woman was. And this opportunity was an open door for Eliezer to go to the house of Rebecca and found out that this is Abraham's relatives. The woman at the well is another story where she went about doing her daily chores. Every time about noon, the hottest part of the day, this woman would come to the well at this inconvenient hour to draw some water. And lo and behold, Jesus came, tired and thirsty. He went to Jacob's well where the Samaritan woman was at. The disciples went to a village called Sychar and was roughly about half mile away to buy some food. While the Samaritan woman came and both had a conversation and they had a divine transaction between them. The Samaritan woman had a divine encounter that broke through her very soul. And she found that this man is a special man. We are reading the providential power of God. Even while you are doing your natural things every day. Some of you said, I've been working for years, and that is my normal life. I want you to know today, as at today, your everyday life is leading you to a bigger story. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 12, we understand that within God's providence, we begin to see the divine interconnection. I believe that nothing between Saul and Samuel just happened. Saul and his servant came looking for the donkeys. And on the very same day, Samuel was in town. I do not believe in coincidence. I do not believe in chance. I believe in interconnection. I believe that you are here not by chance. I believe that you are here to establish a church for the community to hear that God is going to do something good, something great in and through your lives. Your connection is with me who is going to lead you to the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. I am not here to play around with life. I am here to be serious with life. Somebody saying amen. How can anyone not be serious when there is heaven and hell involved? Your connection with me is not by coincidence. This interconnection is going to help you to see a bigger story that you have in life. 1 Samuel 9:12 says, when Saul was looking at a situation, going from one place to another place, couldn't find the donkeys, and all of a sudden he decided, he says, let us go home because my dad will probably be worrying about us. And then the servant said, I know there is a man who is going to tell you whatever he says will come true. And he's about somewhere here. And so Saul was convinced by that conversation. He says, good. In verse 10, he says, he told the servant, come, let's go. And so they set out into the town. And then while they're going to the town, they met some young women. And they asked the young women about this man. And they said to them, "Say, yep, look in verse 12. He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at a high place. He has just come to our town today. What a time. What a moment. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Can I hear an amen? In his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, he arranged all of us to be connected to whom God wants us to connect with. For a reason. You see, the Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You can plan anything, but when the Lord directs you, you will be connected. The question is, when God directs, some people missed out the connection. We are never connected by coincidence. We are met together because we are divinely connected for a purpose. within the divine interconnection. This is very important. Listen to this. There is a divine interaction. And I want you to see in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 14 and 17. He says, they went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming towards them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had already revealed this to Samuel. He says, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him. The revelation of who Saul is going to be has been unraveled. And he says, this man, you must anoint him. He's going to be the ruler over the people of Israel. He will deliver the people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached my ear, has reached me. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. God's plan precedes our present circumstances. God's plan precedes. Do you know that God has a plan ahead of you right now? Do you know that? Do you have the faith to believe that? You see, many of us did not see it because we are succumbed, or we are very much absorbed by our present circumstances. Are you there with me? So because you are constantly looking at your circumstances, you're constantly looking at your mundane life, you're constantly looking at your challenges and your problems, you fail to see there is a plan ahead of you because you're too absorbed with all those situations in front. And this is a phenomenal work of God. His plan is ahead of you. Saul and his servant, they thought to themselves that they're just looking for the donkeys. But the providence of God is different. Saul was looking for the donkeys, yes, but God was preparing him for his kingdom. You may be doing all your mundane things in life, from the morning till the night before you get back to your bed again. You thought it was all that boring life. And I want you to know the good news. Your boring life is now connected to God. Are you with me? Your boring life. Can I look at your face? Your boring life is connected to God's plan. I say this because this message is relevant for me. When I started the church in 1988, who in the world will imagine that I will be here? I will do every day what I'm required to do. A responsible father, a responsible husband, a responsible pastor. I will do any of those things until my opposite neighbor, back to back, saw me washing clothes when my wife gave birth to my first child. I was washing clothes. Why? Because my wife could not bend at that time. She had a bad tear. She couldn't stand up. She couldn't sit up. Husband has to wash clothes. And my neighbor saw me. He said, told my wife, he said, wow, you got a very good husband. Hey, hallelujah. When I heard that, my morale went up. I was so inspired. I washed more clothes. So I did all that I could. And when my son was born, it was a difficult son. He cries for milk almost every 2 hours. Every 2 hours. And I had to get up every 2 hours to feed him. And the worst thing is, the amount of milk you prepare was never finished. And because he doesn't finish, you know he's going to get up again soon because he did not drink much. I do not know why, but that was a torture for me because he had the opportunity of sleeping with the mother while I was sleeping on the floor. And I had to pat the bolster while he was crying because I didn't even know. It was a nightmare in my head at that time. And quickly I asked Stephanie, does your child cry every time for milk? And she said, yeah, she cried a lot. I said, praise God. Oh, Father in heaven, the vengeance is yours. God was preparing Samuel and Saul's arrival in advance. Samuel did not choose Saul. God did. God was leading. He was looking for donkeys, but God was preparing him for his kingdom. So God was preparing Samuel for Saul. This divine interaction is also a divine appointment. They had the interaction that took place as we just read. And it became a divine appointment just like Moses. Moses had the divine interaction at the burning bush. And in that interaction, there was a divine appointment. Are you there? And that divine appointment was very clearly spelled out for him to journey right into Egypt as far as Moses is concerned. God's plan is different from our plan. Can I hear an amen? You know why? Because his plans are always bigger. God wants to do a new thing, but unfortunately, we are stuck with the old things. God constantly wants to do the new thing. He wants to do the bigger things in your life, but we are stuck. We are stuck. We are stuck with our problems. We are stuck with our circumstance. We are stuck with our complaint. We are stuck with blaming each other. We are stuck with those issues of life. No wonder God was not able to connect those points and put you in a place where he can interact with you, and while interacting, he can spell out the divine appointment. Many a time we have this myopic vision, a short-sighted vision. But every time when we could not see those things, when we are stuck with all of these things, and when God began to tell you that he wants to do a bigger work in your life, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is going to edit your plans. You place your plans before God, and God just keep editing your plans. Do you know what I'm talking about? And the sad thing is, when he was editing your plan, your emotions got a little bit frustrated. He keep editing. This is not what I want you to do. This is not what I want you. And you say, God, why do you stop that? You get yourself emotionally worked up because you refuse to accept God's changes in your life. Do you see my point? And this is where I want you to realize that every time when interact with us, before he presents his appointment, he interacts with us. And while interacting, he edits your plans in order to fit into his appointment. And I said it before, when I was young as a teenager, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and when I was at home, things that as a young teenager would not want to do, suddenly I start doing it because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And my mother spoke to me, what happened? We could not change you, but now you are changed. The Holy Spirit is editing my life. Brothers and sisters, if you look at the passage in that divine appointment, we could see that Saul and Samuel came together. Look at the verse in verse 18 to verse 20. He says, Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, would you please tell me where the seer's house is? He was talking to Samuel. And then Samuel said, I am the seer. Those days, seers are also known as prophets. And Samuel replied, go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. Look at verse 20. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, hey, no worries. That's Australian style. Do not worry about them. They have been found. When I read that, I realized that it's not about the donkeys. It never was. But the donkeys were actually meant to bring Samuel and Saul together. The donkeys, the things that you do every day, is to bring you, connect you to the living God every day. And so, this divine interaction began to unravel the real purpose. But I could imagine one thing, perhaps you could too. If Saul had not bothered about the donkeys, I believe he was not ready to be taken into God's destiny for him. Isn't it true? If he tells the father, oh, dad, come on, 3 donkeys, you are so rich, why bother? Dad, why don't you get the servants to go? I'm too tired. I'm just speaking and dramatizing exactly what teenagers would do today. Mom, not me again. I don't want to go. Please get the other person. I'm too tired. And so sometimes we say the students would do that, but sometimes the adults also do the same when God spoke. And we say, God, I don't think I want to risk my life. I don't want to go through the inconveniences. What? You ask me to go all the way there and pick the person up? You ask me to fetch the person so far away? We resisted the mundane inconveniences of our lives. Did I say something right? Somebody say amen. God is never silent in His provision. He will reveal His purpose. Because many a times I listen while I interact with many people. People thought that their everyday life has nothing to do with God. But I saw the revelation in Saul's life. It has everything to do with God's plan. Everything. And so 1 Samuel 9:22, 23, and 24 says, then Samuel brought Saul and his servant to the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. Verse 24, it's not in your slide, but I'm going to read it to you. So the cook took up the thigh with what was in it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said this to Saul, here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you. For this occasion, from the time I said I've invited the guests. You know what I saw? I saw that God prepares ahead even before you realize it. God prepares the things before you realize it. And this is the revelation of God. The Lord goes before you. Somebody say amen. You do not know what is ahead of you, but God has gone ahead of you. Your circumstances does not determine the results. Your circumstances is to lead you to be connected to God that will show you the revelation of what is ahead of you. And when He show you what is ahead of you, He will prepare the way. Somebody say amen. He is going to prepare the way that there is no other way that anybody can do anything about it. So this is the revelation for you today. Samuel took Saul and brought him to the hall and told him, all of these things are prepared for you. You will be utterly surprised at what God is preparing for you before it begins to take shape. So look at the next slide. When you are connected to the sovereignty of God, He will set it in place in front of you. Today, I want to connect you to the sovereignty and the providence of God. We oftentimes think that all of these delays, interruptions, all of these setbacks, and you oftentimes think that these are things that Satan, or even sometimes you thought God, has blocked your way. Or sometimes we think Satan is right there blocking your way. But little did you realize that God did all this, your everyday life, to lead you to a higher plan. The problems you go through and the troubles you go through are not meant to be burdensome. In fact, it was meant to be a platform. Because God has a bigger and wider plan for all of us. Do you believe that or not? If you believe, say an amen. Every single one of us, none of us are exempt. He has a bigger plan for you right there. But He is now interconnecting you in our everyday life so that He will bring you to have an interaction. And in that interaction, He's going to spell out His divine appointment for you. He did that with me, and I believe He will do it with you. It becomes a platform. Many people have taken their shortcuts and they hope to benefit fast. We all need the favor of God. Since 1988, my work was done, my life was carried out, my responsibilities was just as much as what God has taught me to do. I did everything as I could, and I keep doing the same thing every day. Teach the people, preach the word, look after them, care for them, fetch the children, fetch the adults, drive the van every day without fail. Even at the time when the church was growing to 200 people plus, I was still driving and fetching people. Do what God has called us to do. We are called to be God's servants and not God's bosses. But God has called us to be servants, to serve one another with our utmost best. Too many people are doing the things to impress others. The reason I say this is because there are many people who are so full of themselves. So full. They're so full of themselves that they would not want to do the mundane thing. They would not want to even to sweep the floor. They do not even want to do to clean the table. They want to do the things that everybody can look at them. But it's not so. The people who stand behind here has a higher responsibilities and a higher call of God. The higher call of God is not to display who we are. The higher call of God is to display who Christ is. That is our responsibility. But if we are not ready to display who Christ is, don't stand behind the pulpit. Don't stand behind the pulpit. We are called to serve the people, and so we do. Don't be so full of ourselves and forgot the mundane responsibilities. God has a bigger plan. The providential of God, I just want to thank God for that. Because of His providence, because of these mundane responsibilities that I have, God gradually led me after 17 years to this place so that I can be connected to some of you. What am I connecting with you for? So that I can have a free meal? I can have nice coffee with you? I believe my connection with you is to take you along with me to the higher plan of God. God is connecting with all our smallest, mundane, everyday life with His biggest plan. So don't be afraid. While you are standing in the midst of all the smallest things, the burdensome situation, because I realize in this passage, Saul thought he was looking for the donkeys, but he was actually part of something much bigger. He was looking for donkeys, but God was looking for him to lead him to His kingdom. So today, please do not underestimate your everyday chores. Because those are your donkeys. You are working with your donkeys. You are riding on your donkeys. And you are sitting there every day. And through your donkeys, you meet all kinds of people. Hey, it's okay. Because through your donkeys, you are going to be connected to the living God. And so when you are connected, God is going to interact with you. He's going to edit your life and your situation and your schedules and your plans. And when He edits all your plans, He's going to give you a divine appointment. You know, the Bible tells me this, little you have done unto this, you have done it unto me. That's what the Lord says. So if you think your mundane thing is small, young people, if you think that all these responsibilities at home is small thing, you are going to fail if you don't see that is part of God's plan. I never thought it was God's plan when I was a teenager. I never wanted to sweep the floor until I was told to do so. I never wanted to clean the plates until I was told to do so. But all of a sudden, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit came, started to edit my life, and I started to move in the house. And one day I was serving the Lord faithfully, serving the Lord zealously. And I came back home late because it was a Christmas season, and I had to go to the church and prepare a lot of things and do this and do that for the pastor and for the church of Jesus Christ. And I came back home late. My dad was standing at the door, and he says, "Why are you home late?" I said, "I'm home late because I was busy helping the church." He says, "You are supposed to be back early." I said, "Dad, didn't my life change? Do you want me to be in the bar in Malaysia where we spend our time drinking and come back late? Or you prefer me to go to church and come back late? Which is which?" Well, the first time under the rich anointing, I spoke to my dad like that. I never dared to speak to my dad. You know what happened after? You like to know? My dad says nothing. He walked straight into his room, went to sleep. I'm serious about that. I went back to my room, and I said, "What did I say just now?" And finally, I realized, wow, my dad was convinced that this son's life has changed, and he do not say anything. You know why I know that? Because after when I pastored a church in Johor Bahru, my mom passed away, and he decided to live with the youngest son. So he came to my place from Kuala Lumpur to Johor Bahru, from the mid to the south. He stayed with me. And one day he told me, "I want to write about my life." And so I said, "Yeah, why not?" And so he wrote about his life. A very nice little book about him and us, the family. And I was so glad that it's one page designated to write about me. And this is what he says. "My black sheep has become white." He says, "My youngest son has shaken the entire family to know Jesus Christ." I couldn't help but sometimes deep in my heart I would cry. But I was just doing my everyday thing. Living right, living purely, living holy, living in the righteousness of God in my life. That's all I do. Every little bit I've done wrong, I say, "Lord, forgive me." I live with it. I don't drag my wrong things till the next day. I will just go and say, "Lord, forgive me." Every day I did all that I could. When I pioneered the church, cleaned the toilet, that's what the Bible school taught me. Wash the toilet, clean everything I need to do, making sure the place is tidy. Some of you saw me that cleaned the rubbish at the end just now. Why? Because I look at it, there was some rubbish by the bin. Nobody bothered to clean it up. As I was walking straight right there and saw it was dirty, went straight in, pick up the broom, pick up the pan, and clean it up. Because we were trained. We were trained. We never make the house of God look filthy and dirty. We do every day. I'm thankful for many of us who does all the cleaning and all that packing up and all that. I want you to know it's leading to the biggest story of God. Are you with me? It's leading to the biggest story. And I believe when you keep doing that, the church is going to flourish. Why? Because the people who live in this connection with me, I believe you are getting into a bigger story into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And our connection is no coincidence. It's not by chance. I want to trust the Lord that is going to lead you right unto his plan that is ahead. He has a greater plan. Little you have done it unto this, you have done it unto him. Amen. Little you have done it. So today, I'm asking you, some of you here are looking for that divine interconnection. Some of you here are looking for the divine interaction. Some of you here already had that interaction. You're looking for the divine appointments. None of us are exempted. And all of these things will come to pass as long as you are ready to do your mundane, boring life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.